Welcome to episode 79 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for the week of September 10th, 2007. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. In the news on this week's episode of the Fredcast, how an iPod contributed to the death of a cyclist, a Louisiana town wants to ban bikes, schools putting cycling into the curriculum, racing news, and the FBI captures the cyclist. Following the news, Senator Fred Thompson's campaign does the right thing, GPS software questions, a new way to watch cycling, a roof rack review, and PodSafe cycling music. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike hammer, just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Fredcast is gratefully sponsored by Cambria Bicycle Outfitters. Go to www.thefredcast.com and click the link at the top left-hand side of the page to find out how you can get special deals just for listening to the Fredcast. Cambria Bicycle Outfitters, home to quality products, quality prices, and quality customer service. Cambria Bicycle Outfitters, they outfit the world. Hey, welcome back to the Fredcast. It's good to be back with you once again and back on schedule. How awesome is that? Hey, a couple of announcements for you before we get started with the show. Hey, I just did the ad for Cambria Bicycle Outfitters, and I wanted to mention to you, and thanks to a couple of listeners who brought this to my attention, apparently the coupon code that Cambria provides for the special Fredcast listener deals, well, apparently it's been down for a short period of time, and thanks to some eagle-eyed listeners, they found out that that wasn't working. I spoke with the good folks at Cambria, and within moments, they were able to reactivate it. So it is working. Please go to Cambria and place your orders there. By supporting Cambria, you are supporting this show. So please do click the link through from thefredcast.com. That lets them know that their advertisement is reaching you. And of course, we appreciate you for doing that. Second of all, I wanted to let you know that I've added some new functionality to the Fredcast.com website. It's pretty minor, but something that's important to me because it's going to make things work better. Every time at the end of the show, I let you know how you can send me audio comments. And for the longest time, I've been saying that you should use the link for odio.com. Well, I was having some issues with that, and I changed to a new service called mychingo.com, and it's working much better. Some of you have already tried it, and you'll hear at least one of those messages later on here in the show. So please, if you want to leave an audio comment for me, you've got a lot of ways you can do that. You've got the Fredcast listener hotline. You have the Skype link and the telephone number that I've provided to you. But now you've also got this link where it says, leave me an audio comment on the right-hand side of the page near all the contact info. That will open up a Java applet in your browser, and you can literally record your message right there on your computer. Give it a try if you'd like to leave us an audio comment. And again, you can do that and not have me play it on the show. Just let me know that when you leave the comment. Okay, enough announcements for today. Let's get down to the news for this week. Leading the news today is a safety-related story, and it has to do with riding your bike while wearing your iPod. It seems a 42-year-old man from Kane County, Illinois, which is to the west of Chicago, was riding his bike a few days ago and came to a railroad crossing. Now, the railroad crossing had a sign indicating that it was a railroad crossing, but there were no gates and no audible or visual signals. Because of all of that, and because apparently he was wearing his iPod, he went to cross the tracks and was unfortunately hit and killed by an oncoming train. According to the news reports I've read, the conductor did see the man and did try to stop the train, but wasn't able to do so in time. According to a Kane County Sheriff's Police spokesman, quote, he had the iPod on, so we're going on the assumption that with no gate or lights, that he didn't hear or see the train coming. And of course, you know, at the beginning of the show, I always say, make a comment about if you're listening to the show while you're riding your bike. But I've also commented before that for safety's sake, only put in one headphone. That's the law in most places, and it will allow you to hear oncoming traffic and oncoming trains and stay safe out there. So if there's any lesson to be learned here from this unfortunate circumstance, it is always remember that when you ride, and especially if you're riding with headphones, please do so safely and following the law, only have one headphone in. It could just save your life. Meanwhile, down in Louisiana, Cyclicious is reporting that there's a town called New Llano. That's L-L-A-N-O. And the town council there is considering an ordinance that I think most of us would probably disagree with. Apparently, Councilman Charles Balthrop has now introduced an ordinance that will prohibit the use of skateboards, rollerblades, roller skates, and bicycles, get this, anywhere in the corporate limits of the town of New Llano, except on an individual's private property. According to Mayor Freddie Boswell, the town is being victimized by vandals. He said, quote, "It's mostly the skateboarders who are tearing things up." The town's been having problems with the park being vandalized, and they've had to repair water fountains and lighting systems several times as a result of the vandalism. If this ordinance goes into effect, the first offense will be a $50 fine and or 30 days in jail. The second offense will be a $100 fine and or 30 days in jail. And then the fine will continue to increase by $50 per violation, with a maximum of $300 and or 30 days in jail. In a follow-up article that Cyclicious posted on their website, there was an interview with a town resident by the name of Curtis Scott. You see, Curtis Scott has no other mode of transportation besides his bicycle. This is how he gets to work. This is how he goes to the grocery store. This is basically how he gets around. It takes him about 10 minutes to get to work. Walking would at least double his travel time. And as far as going to the market, he'd probably have to make several trips because he simply won't be able to handle the load if he's walking. He said, quote, "You don't have to punish everyone just because some people are up to no good. Arrest, fine, or punish those people and leave everyone else alone." He went on to say, "Laws like these are what give a town a bad name. Just think of all of the kids who aren't going to be able to go out and play now. There are a lot of older people who like to ride their bikes for leisure, and many of these people probably choose to live in New Llano because it's a small town and there's low crime. It just doesn't seem right that the town can make me suffer for something that others are doing." Thankfully, there will be a public hearing on this ordinance on September 25th in front of the town council of New Llano. If you live in the area, I'm sure people like Curtis Scott would appreciate your support at that meeting. And I've got a link in the show notes to the Cyclicious story so that you can find all of the other links so that you too can help out. Because quite frankly, this is a really lame idea. Meanwhile, in another part of the world, here's a town that gets it. The town of North Lanarkshire in Scotland has now put mountain biking into the PE curriculum so that children will be encouraged to live a healthy lifestyle. And of course, what's better than mountain biking or even cycling in general to promote a healthy lifestyle? Pupils are taught basic skills in the playground before they move on to a beginner's trail at Cumbernauld Glen, which is in the forest nearby. And this was being developed between the schools and the Forestry Commission. According to Kevin Lafferty of the Forestry Commission of Scotland, quote, "This is the first initiative of its kind in Scotland, and we've been really pleased with the feedback from the kids taking part." So kudos to this area of Scotland for putting mountain biking and cycling into their PE curriculum. We hope that this is a trend that continues and sweeps the globe. Well, let's do a little bit of racing news before we continue with the rest of the news today. And today, September the 11th, was the start of the inaugural Tour of Missouri here in the United States, and it started in Kansas City, Missouri. Now, this is a first time ever for this race, and it represents what some people are calling the third of North America's Grand Tours. Of course, we have the Grand Tours in Europe with the Tour de France, the Giro d'Italia, and the Vuelta a España, and we'll get to the Vuelta in a moment. But this would be the third Grand Tour in the United States, and of course, that would include the Tour of California, the Tour of Georgia, and now the Tour of Missouri. Today was the very first stage. It was 85 miles, 137 kilometers from Kansas City to Kansas City. There are six total stages in the event, including an individual time trial on stage three in Branson, Missouri, finishing up on stage 6 in St. Louis with a circuit race of 74 miles or 119 kilometers. So who's racing in this event? Well, there are two Pro Tour teams this year, Discovery Channel and Saunier Duval. Also included is the DFL Cycling News team, Team Spark Casa, Symmetric Cycling, Tecos de la Universidad Autónoma de Guadalajara, HealthNet, presented by Maxis, Navigators Insurance, Team Slipstream, powered by Chipotle, Toyota United, BMC Racing, Jelly Belly, Kodak Gallery Pro Cycling, Colavita Sutter Home, and the USA Cycling National Development Team. Now, we mentioned that Discovery is included in this race, and this will represent the last time you will see the Discovery Channel Pro Cycling Team racing together, as this team will disband after this race. But included in the field are this year's Tour de France winner, Alberto Contador, this year's everything winner, Levi Leipheimer, Popovich is there, and also U.S. upcoming phenom, Jason McCartney. Now, there's a couple of ways that you can follow what's going on at the Tour of Missouri. First of all, there's great live race video. Well, supposed to be great live race video. I'll talk about that in a moment, as well as a live tour tracker. The live tour tracker has the race video option for you as well, along with a chat room. Now, they had some issues with the video today, specifically getting it up and online. So they were feeding some previous press interviews while they were trying to get it up online. And then once they did get it up online, they had some audio issues as well. And even though they finally got the audio on, it was still a little bit crackly and there were some big echoes. So I think they're still working out some bugs. The tour tracker, which usually includes GPS data so you can see exactly where the cyclists are at any given time, well, that wasn't working today either. And the chat room on the page where they were doing the tour tracking attracted some people that you wouldn't want your kids reading their messages. So I'm hoping that that becomes moderated as the days go on, so it becomes a little bit more family friendly. But in the meantime, if you want to check out either the live race video or the live tour tracker, I have put links into the show notes so that you can go to the show notes at www.thefredcast.com and you can follow the video or the race tracker yourself during the day. Now, the results of stage 1 today in the Tour of Missouri. First place went to Ivan Dominguez from Toyota United. Second went to Zach Bell from Team Symmetrics. And third to Kyle Walmsley from Navigators. And halfway around the world, let's not forget the major Pro Tour event that's going on, and that is the third of the major Grand Tours, the Vuelta a España. Now, after 10 stages, today, Tuesday, was a rest day at the Vuelta. Here are your standings so far. Overall, Denis Menshov from Team Rabobank is leading the group with 39 hours, 41 minutes, and 51 seconds. 2 minutes and 1 second behind is Vladimir Efimkin from Kas Stepanya. In third, 2 minutes, 27 seconds back, Cadel Evans from Predictor Lotto. In fourth, 3 minutes, 2 seconds back, it's Carlos Sastre from Team CSC. By the way, CSC did not send a team to the Tour of Missouri here in the United States. And in fifth, Ezequiel Mosquera from the Carpen Galicia team at 4 minutes and 35 seconds back. In the points or the sprint category, sitting in first place is Paolo Bettini with 81 points from Team Quickstep. The world champion was catapulted to first place when Oscar Freire withdrew from the race earlier this week. In second is race leader Denis Menshov from Team Rabobank with 76 points. And in third, Eric Zabel from Team Milram with 59. In the King of the Mountains, well, there's Denis Menshov again in first place with 71 points. In second, Leonardo Piepoli from Saunier Duval with 67. And also with 67 points is Serafin Martinez Acevedo from Carpen Galicia with 67 points in third place. Now, a couple of notable withdrawals. We mentioned Oscar Freire. He's withdrawn. So has Oscar Pereiro, Sergio Paulino, and Tom Danielson. The Vuelta a España will end on stage 23 in Madrid on Sunday, September 23rd, and that is just before Interbike begins. I'll make sure that I bring those final results to you in my Interbike shows. Following the Vuelta, the world's best cyclists are planning to meet in Stuttgart, Germany for the World Road Racing Championships. These will be held September the 25th through the 30th in Stuttgart, known primarily for its automobiles more than for its cycling. Interestingly enough, if you go to the World Championship website, and of course there's a link in the show notes, you will see that what appears to be the slogan for this year's World Championships is Live Clean, obviously referring to the numerous doping scandals in professional cycling this year and in recent years. Speaking of that, not participating in this year's Road World Championships will be Spaniards Alejandro Valverde and Tour de France winner Alberto Contador. Now, Contador is not participating mainly at his own decision because, according to the Spanish coach, quote, his head is elsewhere at the moment. He isn't ready to come back to racing. Now, that's not entirely true because, of course, Contador is at the Tour of Missouri here in the United States at the moment. But Contador has been implicated in the Operation Puerto affair, and the UCI would normally say that if he was put on the roster, that because he's currently under investigation, he wouldn't be allowed to race in the World Championship. So his decision precludes the UCI from making their own decision. I think that that's probably better for his reputation. But meanwhile, another rider who will not be participating, at least according to the UCI, is Alejandro Valverde. According to the UCI spokesman Enrico Carpani, quote, the rider won't take the start in Stuttgart. That's for sure. But meanwhile, the Spanish team has continued to leave Valverde on their roster because according to the Spanish Cycling Federation, Valverde has not been adequately implicated in the Puerto affair, and therefore he should be allowed to ride. So while he's on the roster, the UCI says he can't ride. We'll find out on September 25th whether or not he actually does take the start line, and if so, what the UCI plans to do about that. And of course, speaking of doping and cycling, there is finally going to be a summit that will include the UCI and WADA. This summit is an anti-doping summit, and it will take place in Paris, October the 22nd and 23rd. Now, WADA originally proposed the idea for this summit, but because of an ongoing battle between the UCI and WADA, the UCI was not so interested in participating. But now, the sponsor of the event will be the French government. And as a result, both WADA and the UCI have said that they would attend. Also in attendance will be the organizers of some of cycling's major events, a number of national cycling federations, and national doping agencies. I'm sure that there will be some sort of pronouncements that will come out of this, and I'll be sure to bring them to you here on the Fredcast. And it is hoped that this sort of a summit being held in France with the UCI and WADA and all these major agencies and folks involved in professional cycling, it is hoped that this might make some dent in this doping problem that pervades professional cycling. And finally, here's a story that we don't necessarily want associated with cycling, but I thought it was something that was interesting enough to bring to you. Colombian authorities said yesterday that they captured a notorious drug trafficker, Diego Leon Montoya Sanchez, who was named as one of the United States Federal Bureau of Investigation's 10 most wanted people in the world. According to Interior Minister Carlos Holguin, Montoya, who was 49, was one of the leaders of the North Valley Cartel, and he was captured in the southeastern mountainous region of Valle del Cauca. Colombian Vice President Francisco Santos said, quote, this is a major success, which demonstrates that Colombia is battling this plague efficiently. So what does this have to do with cycling, you might ask? Well, I went to the FBI's 10 Most Wanted Fugitive page, and I pulled up the wanted poster for Diego Montoya and found that he was called La Ciclista, or the cyclist. But I don't think any cyclist would have a rap sheet like this. He was wanted for conspiracy to import and possess with intent to deliver cocaine, possession with intent to deliver cocaine, money laundering, conspiracy to manufacture or distribute cocaine abroad with the knowledge or intent that it be imported into the United States, conspiracy to obstruct justice, obstruction of justice involving murder, conspiracy to retaliate against a witness by murder, and retaliating against a witness by murder. One would hope that most ciclistas would not have a rap sheet like this. And on that cheery note, we'll end the news here for today on the Fredcast. So do you remember last week we talked a little bit about presidential candidate Senator Fred Thompson? And I mentioned the fact that they had a podcast on their site called Fredcast. Well, I have good news for you on this front. I had a conversation with the campaign earlier this week, and now let me read you the announcement, which is on the Fred Thompson website. It says, when the website for Friends of Fred Thompson was set up, we wanted to have a section devoted to video and audio, letting Fred be Fred and communicating directly to the people. We dubbed it Fredcast since it was Fred broadcasting to the world. Unfortunately, we accidentally stepped on someone's toes. Southern Californian and avid cyclist David Bernstein has been recording the Fredcast Cycling podcast for close to 2 years. We were a little confused that a man named David was making a Fredcast, but Bernstein's explanation is simple. Quote, the show is called the Fredcast because it is aimed at Freds, high-end cyclists who tend to spend a good deal of time and money on their equipment and training. We don't want to cause any confusion, so we will change the name of our video/audio section. Since we can't leave it nameless, that's where you come in. We're having a contest asking you what should be the new name. Go to, and it has a link, this page to give us your suggestion. Give us your best ideas between now and midnight Thursday, and on Friday morning we'll post the 10 best. The winner will be decided by your votes on Friday and Saturday. Pick a good name, because if you are one of the 10 finalists, you'll receive an autographed campaign poster from Fred. Get creative and encourage your friends to help. Now show us what you've got. So folks, I have given them my suggestion. I'm free to tell you what it is here. I didn't submit it on the website, but perhaps I will. I sent them an email and said, call it Fred Vision, because that has a great double meaning for somebody who's a candidate, especially because you're doing a lot of video. I do want to thank the Fred Thompson campaign for doing the right thing and also being so nice about it. So thanks to the folks at Fred Thompson's 2008 presidential campaign. And also thanks to attorney and fellow Fred Doc Bradshaw for giving me his assistance and his legal advice, which definitely did pay off. And for those of you who are friends of Fred Thompson or might be fans or contributors or just supporters, I would appreciate it if you'd let them know how much we appreciate their having done the right thing. And I have put a link in the show notes to the I'm with Fred website. And once again, my thanks to the Fred Thompson campaign. A couple more announcements before we get to a couple of features and the end of today's show. First of all, I mentioned it last week and I did get a couple of emails, but I'd like to get some more. What is it that you would like to hear me cover when I go to Interbike? I will have 2 days at the outdoor demo and I will have 2 days at the 3-day show. Unfortunately, duty calls and for my day job, I will have to cut it short. Won't be able to be at all 3 days of Interbike, but please send me an email, send me a voicemail. You know all the links and of course I'll give them to you at the end of the show, but let me know what it is you'd like me to cover at the show. I would be happy to cover as much as I can for you, but I'd like to hear from you and like to know what it is you'd like to hear about. Also, I mentioned that I would be doing an online route planner shortly. I got a couple of links from you, a couple more than I expected, and so the research is going to take me just one more week, and I'll try to get this to you next week, but I would love to hear your audio comments. I got one or two audio comments, but I'd like some more. I would like your fellow Fredcast listeners to hear from you, to know what it is that you like about your online route planner of choice. So send me your email, certainly, if there's some sites you'd like me to review. But most importantly, I would like to hear from you so that your fellow listeners can hear from you. And you know all the different ways that you can send me audio comments, and I'll repeat them again at the end of the show. And of course, they're on the website at www.thefredcast.com.
Hello, David. This is Michael from Amarillo, Texas. Just like you, I am a Mac user, and I'm also a Garmin Edge 305 user, which, if, as you know, the Garmin software for the Mac really lacks some major features that the Windows version has. But I ran across this great software package for the Mac called Ascent, and you get it at MontebelloSoftware.com. I sent you a link to that. And this software really is great. It's so much better than even the Garmin software for the PC, it really tells you a lot of information. It even shows a map, and it's just really great software. So please go check that out. The software does cost, like $30 for it. But it is great software, so please go check that out.
Michael, thank you so much for your voice message, and you are absolutely right. Ascent is great software. And for those of you who don't know about Ascent and want to learn a little bit more, of course, I've put a link in the show notes to where you can find Ascent on the web, but I've also put a link in the show notes to Fredcast episode number 68, when I reviewed Ascent, and Ascent has become my software of choice when I am connecting my GPS unit to my Macintosh in order to get all of my performance data from my rides. Now, I got a question from listener John from Oregon, and he asked a fantastic question, one unfortunately, which I can't answer. I'm a Mac user, I'm a Windows user, but I'm not a Linux user. I've certainly played around with it, but I wouldn't consider myself a Linux guru by any stretch of the imagination. Listener John wanted to know, what GPS software is out there for connecting, say, your Garmin Edge or some other GPS unit to your computer if you're using the Linux operating system? So I'm opening this up to you, the Fredcast listener. If you are a Linux user, if you're a Fred, I would love to know what software it is that you use to connect to your computer. So www.thefredcast.com. Please send me a message and let me know the best Linux software that you have found for your GPS. Speaking of listener John, he also had a great suggestion in regards to my Polar CS600 power meter review from last week. He said, quote, "Just a thought about weighing the chain to install the power meter. Rather than removing and cleaning the chain to weigh it, wouldn't it be a little easier to buy a new chain and weigh it before you install it?" And you know what? That's not a bad idea, because a lot of us let our chains go a little bit too long. We get out on a ride, we start to hammer up a hill, and oops, our chain breaks. So you know what? If you're going to be getting a new power meter and you're going to get the Polar CS600, which is a nice unit, might not be a bad idea at the same time to buy a new chain. It's a great time to weigh it, put it on, it's clean, and you'll be off and running. So John, thanks so much for that great suggestion. I hope that helps a lot of other people as well.
Hi, David. My name is Michael Ignatowitz from Canton, Connecticut. I'm a faithful listener of the Fredcast and enjoy the work you do on getting messages out about cycling every week to your listeners. You encouraged us to let you know if there were any rides in our area that we wanted to provide you with a report on, and that's what I'm trying to do today. On Saturday, September 8th, 2007, I participated in the first inaugural Discover Hartford bicycling and walking tour. This tour took place in the city of Hartford, Connecticut, which is the capital city of the state of Connecticut. It's put on by an organization called the Central Connecticut Bicycling Alliance. Since the year 2000, an association of agencies and individuals have operated various bike-to-work programs in the Central Connecticut region. After 5 years of growth, the time was right to create a formal organization that could keep the bike-to-work efforts going and take it to the next level. The Central Connecticut Bicycle Alliance is dedicated to that mission. In addition, CCBA will advocate for bike-friendly facilities and policies in Central Connecticut that benefit all bicyclists, both recreational riders and commuters. This first inaugural event was a 10-mile and a 25-mile bicycle ride, with the rider could sign up and select their choice of the route, and there was also a walking tour involved. The route took us to virtually every neighborhood in the city of Hartford. I grew up in the Hartford area, and this ride took me through some neighborhoods and some beautiful vistas that I had no idea existed in the city. It was a tremendous effort by the CCBA, especially Alan Williams, who was the event director. There was an online sign-up, and there were several area businesses that put their sponsorship support behind the event. On Friday, September 7th, there were over 1,000 pre-registrations for a first-year event, which I thought was fantastic. The event organizers estimate that at the start of the ride, there were about 1,250 riders ready to go off. We had local TV personalities and a very good singer that sang the national anthem at the start of the ride. We had a beautiful, sunny, somewhat humid, warm day for our ride. But it was just great to be on the roads of Hartford with all of the people that signed up who support all different forms of cycling, whether it's competitive cycling, whether it's cycling for health and exercise, whether it's cycling for transportation. Virtually every constituency was represented in this ride. The route that was designed for the bicycling and walking tour took us through many beautiful parks in the city of Hartford. The ride started and ended at Bushnell Park, which is a park right in the center of downtown Hartford. We traveled through Cedar Hill Cemetery, Pope Park, Elizabeth Park with its wonderful rose gardens, and Keeney Park, which has a golf course and many athletic fields. The route was, I would say, flat to rolling. There was nothing really difficult in terms of the elevation change in the route. There were varying surfaces on the route. We had some very good recently paved roads. We had some patched pavement. We had also some of the park roads where the pavement layer had been taken off and there was a dirt and gravel surface to ride on. Certainly doable with a regular road bike. If you had wider tires like on a cyclocross bike or a hybrid, it would probably be even a better choice for this ride. So it was just great getting out on a sunny day, promoting bicycle advocacy, and reconnecting with the Hartford neighborhoods. We really enjoyed this event, and I wanted to tell the Fredcast listeners about it. If you need more information about the tour or about activities of the Central Connecticut Bicycling Alliance, please visit the website of the CCBA at www.wecyclect.org. Thanks, David.
Are you kidding, Michael? Thank you. That was an awesome ride report. And yes, I do encourage everyone to please send in a ride report about your favorite ride, or maybe just like Michael did, a first-time ride and something that you really enjoyed. So, Michael, thank you so much for sending that in. I've put the links to the ride and to the CCBA in the show notes. And by the way, just a comment about this ride and the fact that he was saying that he's been a longtime Hartford resident, and he got to go through some neighborhoods that maybe he normally wouldn't go through. I participated in the very, very first LA Marathon bicycle tour in Los Angeles, and it was the same thing. It was 26 miles of some neighborhoods that you don't normally go through, and certainly you don't go through with the roads closed. And so a lot of cities are doing things like this. Whether like here in Hartford, it was because they were wanting to promote bicycle advocacy, or whether it's places like Long Beach, California, Los Angeles, California, and other places where the roads are going to be closed for a marathon or some other sporting event anyway, and so they keep the roads closed to allow cyclists to go through these cities. Take, for example, the Five Borough Bicycle Tour in New York. What a great way to see the city of New York and all of its boroughs. But by bicycle, when the streets are completely closed and only bikes can be on the streets. So, Michael, once again, thank you so much for your ride report. I encourage others to send in theirs anytime. A couple of products that I wanted to tell you about. And the first isn't actually a physical product itself. It's a product of the internet. We've talked before here on the Fredcast about cycling.tv, the website that allows you to watch broadband live cycling video, live races as they happen, and also has a lot of great archived races as well. Now, there's a free section to cycling.tv, and there's a paid section to cycling.tv. But I have been using a service for the last few months called Juiced, and that's not like orange juice, but that's J-O-O-S-T. And Juiced is broadband television on your computer, and Juiced has a number, a wide number of different channels with lots and lots of content, frequently updated content, and the quality is actually quite good. Now, right now, Juiced is in what's called a for friends beta, which means you need to know somebody who has an invitation who can then send you that invitation so that you too can try Juiced. Now, why am I telling you about this and what's the connection with cycling.tv? Well, the connection is that cycling.tv was recently added to Juiced, and you can now watch a number of different cycling.tv programs through Juiced. Juiced also includes, besides broadband television, it includes chat, instant messaging, search, and a lot more. You don't have to worry about a particular schedule because there are no schedule. You watch what you want, as often as you want, and when you want. If you'd like to check out cycling.tv on Juiced and all of the other Juiced content, you're going to need at least Windows XP Service Pack 2 or a Mac running OS 10.4 and at least 512 megs of RAM in both cases. And you're also going to need about 500 megabytes of hard disk space. I have a limited number of Juiced invitations that I can give out. So if you're interested in watching cycling.tv on Juiced and in watching the rest of Juiced content, send an email to me with the subject line Juiced. That's all you need to do. You don't have to put anything in the content or the body of the message. Just send me an email with the subject line Juiced, and in first come, first serve order, I will send out invites until I run out. I think you'll enjoy it. I've enjoyed it, not just for the cycling.tv content, but for the rest of the content which is available there. It is wide and varied. Send me your email, thefredcast@gmail.com, and I'll send you an invite. Now, before we end the show for today, I have just a really quick review of a product which I purchased because I had a need to fill, and you might have this same need to fill, and a product which I found to be of some of the best quality of anything in the category that I've tried before. What am I talking about? Well, a few months ago, I bought a new car. Actually, I had to because somebody rear-ended me and totaled my old car. So I bought a new car. I bought I guess it's a bit of an SUV or almost a crossover SUV, and it has factory-mounted roof racks. Well, I didn't like the solution that was offered by the car company for bike racks, and I didn't like the solutions that were offered by really the heavy hitters in the automobile bike rack category, and you could probably name those companies for yourselves. And I happened upon Rocky Mounts, and you can find Rocky Mounts at www.rockymounts.com, and they have a product which is called the Noose. Strange name for a bike rack, but here's what the Noose does. The Noose is a fork-mounted bike rack that will fit on, according to their website, about 98% of factory load bars that come with your car. So I gave them a call and I said, "Hi guys, I am looking for roof-mounted racks, but I've got this car and it's got factory load bars. Will your rack fit?" And they said, "It certainly will." And I gave them my credit card and placed an order. Now, I've installed over the last, almost 20 years, a wide variety of different roof racks on a wide variety of different cars. Some are easier to put on than others. And if you've ever done this, you know what I'm talking about. This was the easiest installation of any roof rack I have ever had. And the instructions literally were second to none. They were simple, but they were accurate. And everything that came in the box was easy to use and easy to put on. So the way that the Noose works is it looks like any other fork-mounted bike rack, except it mounts to literally any roof rails on your car. And it's got a rather large mounting plate on the front of the unit. And when I first saw it, I thought it looks a little bit clunky. And I called up Rocky and I asked them, why is it that you have this large mounting plate that, yeah, it kind of looks funny? And they explained to me that most factory roof rails, or the bars that go across your car, most of them are not made to handle the kinds of loads that most other regular roof racks are capable of handling. As a result, they need this larger plate, and they've scientifically designed it so that it spreads the load out and therefore make sure that you won't have any issues with breakage of your factory load bar. So you put this thing on, you mount it to the rails, and it, if you want, you can also buy a locking quick release. And the quick release is, well, I found it to be beefier than any other fork mounted quick release I'd seen before. And it's really easy to use. And you can also get separate locking cores for the quick release so that you can lock your bike to the car. Now, the rack itself doesn't lock to the roof rails. It attaches with Allen bolts, but I don't think that you're going to find your common thief wanting to try to remove Allen bolts in order to get your bike, because I think that's probably going to draw some attention. So I think if you've got a locking quick release, in most situations, certainly if you're not leaving your bike on top of your car overnight, in most situations, this is going to deter your common thief. Now, there's one other feature that I found to be incredibly useful. We recently got some new mountain bikes so that we could mountain bike in the very wonderful area in which we now find ourselves. And the problem is, with today's mountain bikes, most of them, or a lot of them, come with disc brakes. And with most roof racks, especially fork-mounted roof racks, the caliper from your disc brake oftentimes will interfere with the wheel tray on your fork-mounted bike rack, and you will either find yourself unable to mount your disc brake-equipped mountain bike to your roof, or you'll find that the interaction between the caliper unit and the tray might cause damage either to the tray or to the calipers or both. So they offer a disc brake adapter, and it's not much. I think it's about $14, $15 per rack. And what it does is it extends the tray about 4 inches from the fork mount area to allow for room for the caliper. And I, of course, purchased those, and now my bikes fit on top of my car with no problem. So this is a product which I purchased. This was not a product that they sent to me for evaluation. It is a product which I happily use and happily endorse, because I think the folks at Rocky Mounts have done all of us who have factory roof rails, have done all of us a service by providing the noose and by providing certainly the disc brake adapter, both of which filled a need for me and might even fill a need for you. And I have put links in the show notes so you can check it out for yourself. Oh, one more thing that I almost forgot, and this is really cool. You can get your trays, your wheel trays on your fork-mounted bike carriers from Rocky Mounts in one of a number of different colors: red, orange, pink, yellow, green, baby blue, blue, gold, silver, black, and for an upcharge, floral or urban camo. To my knowledge, Rocky Mounts is the only company that provides their trays in different colors. I think that that's really cool. Check them out. Links are in the show notes. Well, that's it for the Fredcast for this week. Just a couple of quick notes before we go to our PodSafe cycling music. First of all, how do you contact the Fredcast, or even how does the Fredcast contact you? Well, first of all, the Fredcast can contact you if you follow our Twitter feed. And I've got links in the show notes to how you can do that. And of course, you can at any time check our website at www.thefredcast.com. And how do you contact the Fredcast, and how do you send in the audio comments like we've mentioned several times during the show? Well, first of all, the email address, it's thefredcast@gmail.com. And for sending audio comments, there's several ways to send those. First is the Fredcast listener hotline at area code 206-203-FRED. If you're on Skype, you can reach us at the Fredcast, or our Skype phone number is 435-258-6373. That's 435-258-6FRED. Or you can use that audio comment link that I mentioned before. go to www.thefredcast.com. Scroll down, and on the right-hand side, you'll see the Contact Us link. Click on the one that says Send Us an Audio Comment. One other thing I'd like you to do, and that's spread the word about the Fredcast. There's a number of ways to do that. If you're out on your group ride or at your club, tell your friends, write an iTunes review, or we've talked about this almost since day one, go to Podcast Alley and vote for the Fredcast. We would appreciate all of those. Well, that's going to do it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for staying subscribed. Thank you for all of your emails and audio comments. Before we go, here's my favorite audio comment of the week.
You guys are awesome. Calling from Delaware. Dover, Delaware.
Well, to you, Dover, Delaware, thank you so much for sending in that audio comment. I always appreciate it. That's going to do it for the Fredcast for this week. But before we go, it is time for our PodSafe cycling music, which comes to us this week, as it does most weeks, from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Tonight's music is entitled Looking Back, and it's by Cruelty Free. In the show notes, you'll find links to where you can buy the song on iTunes, or where you can buy any of Cruelty Free's songs on iTunes. Also a link to their site on the Podshow site, as well as their own website. So between this week and next, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.
Look at my reflection. back.